Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. I'm officially hungry now. Is that okay? I just am.
Now I am too.
Listen, I got to tell you right now, the lovely Charlene last night made homemade Texas taco soup.
Ooh.
This is like one of my favorite things she makes. Texas taco soup. Picture like really hearty vegetable beef soup, but it's also got like a little Mexican spice to it. And then she puts tortilla chips in the bottom of the bowl, pours the soup down on top of it. And I'm not going to lie, she also made a homemade from scratch coconut cream pie for dessert.
Oof, man.
I'm a fat man.
That's quite the meal. Mexican food, man, it's so good. It's one of my favorite cuisines.
That's a good word.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Makes you sound very bon vivant.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump into dipper number two. An appeal to heaven. I said earlier that an appeal to heaven, the flag, the appeal to heaven, it comes from a phrase in one of the great treatises by John Locke. During the early days of the colonial, you know, the rising up of the colonial sense that we should be a nation unto ourselves, and that we were being oppressed by the larger, you know, monarchy of Great Britain. And John Locke said, in the absence of an ability to appeal to a worldly authority, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, what we are left with is an appeal to heaven. And that phrase was then grabbed and put on the flag, an appeal to heaven. So that's what I named this dipper, an appeal to heaven. Well, that's exactly what happened yesterday. So President Trump yesterday went to the Museum of the Bible. By the way, if you have not seen it, the Museum of the Bible is very cool in Washington, D.C. I believe it's the family that founded Hobby Lobby, if I'm not mistaken, founded the Museum of the Bible. Check that out for me, JP. I think it is. But they founded the Museum of the Bible. And so first of all, there will be lots and lots of exhibits of, you know, classic old Bibles, historical Bibles, you know, pieces of artifacts of, you know, biblical history. But they've also got some very cool interactive exhibits. Was it Hobby Lobby family?
It was, yeah, the Green family.
Yeah. But they also founded this, have this great display. What am I trying to say? Use your words, Phil. I'm looking at Fox News. It's on my screen. It distracted me. But they have this great interactive, kind of like a ride thing where you get in it and you strap yourself in and you're standing up, but then all of a sudden it leans forward. You got this giant IMAX screen in front of you and it makes you feel like you're flying. And all of a sudden you're flying through Washington, D.C. and it'll fly you from one place to the other. And it's got this, I mean, you get this really sense that you're flying because they have breezes blowing in your hair. And
I did one of those rides at Disney World when I was a kid, like the 4D, you know, I didn't even know it.
Flying through D.C., you don't realize how much scripture is written on monuments.
Huh.
There's actually on the top of the Washington Monument, there's scripture engraved on the top of the Washington Monument. So it'll fly you to the top like you're a drone and you can sit there and you can look at it and then you'll fly to the Supreme Court building and then you'll fly across. It's crazy.
But yet we are a Christian nation. But I didn't know we had that much. I didn't know we had scripture on the top of the Washington
Everywhere.
Monument.
Everywhere. It's all over D.C. because we are a nation that was founded, one nation under God. And I recognize that we have freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all of it. I realize that we are not going to tell someone that we're going to be a nation that establishes a certain religion. But you cannot say that we weren't a nation that was established by religion, because there were people here in our founders who determined to write God into our founding documents. President Trump went to the Museum of the Bible yesterday. And he gave a great speech. I loved it, personally. He launched what's also called the America Prays Initiative. What he's asking for is for people of the United States to pray as we come into the 250th anniversary of our nation next year. And he's setting up the America Prays Initiative. What this particular WhiteHouse.gov release I have in my calloused former paratrooper hand says is a call for Americans to unite in prayer for the nation's strength and peace and prosperity as the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence approaches. There's a part of his speech that I thought was pretty significant, and JP, you got the soundbite on that? I'm going to call up audio, video. Is it video or just audio? It's video
too,
right? Yeah. AV number two, play it, buddy.
But America was founded on faith, as we know, and I've been saying it for a long time, and when faith gets weaker. Our country seems to get weaker. When faith gets stronger, as it is right now, we're having a very good period of time. After some rough years, good things happen for our country. It's amazing the way it seems to work that way. And under the Trump administration, we're defending our rights and restoring our identity as a nation under God. We are one nation under God, and we always will be.
Yeah, that's what a joy to hear the president of the United States say that. Now, I already know, because I can anticipate the left. The left is going to go, he's a flawed man. He shouldn't be saying this kind of, what a hypocrite. Let me tell you something. The same day he was saying that, I happened to be reading Philippians 1 in my quiet time that morning. And I don't know why, but I was struck by the fact that in his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul was writing, and he talked about the fact that there are a number of you out there preaching the gospel. He said, some are doing it for the wrong reason, some are doing it for the right. He said, but for whatever reason is being done, the gospel is being advanced. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but what I'm saying is this. The president of the United States just used his platform to call on people to pray and to ask for us to be considered one nation under God. If you don't like his life, if you think there's something about him that is in some way disingenuous or untrue, you can try that. But I will tell you this, God's word never comes back void. That's my opinion, but it's also scriptural. God's word never comes back void. The fact that he stood there and used the power of the presidency to say those things is still going to wind up being a blessing over this nation. What you got?
I was going to say Moses was a murderer. David was a lustful man. I mean, what was it that Paul also wrote? That there's no way, I'm the most wretched sinner. There's not anybody more wretched of a sinner than I am. So
absolutely,
that's kind of the basis of who God uses, is people that maybe have a bit of a messed up past, and he uses them to advance his gospel. So that's kind of the theme. So yeah,
kind of, sort of.
Yeah,
there was a great Christian humorist a few years back. I'll think of her name in a minute. Joyce something. Anyway, but bottom line was her book was called "God Uses Cracked Pots."
Yeah,
and because he does. And I also remember too. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale was asked one time, "Why do we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us up on a regular basis?" He says, "Because we leak."
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
so you know, the reality is we are flawed people, and I don't know. I'm not going to try and second guess whether Trump has had a true experience with the Lord and become, you know, a believer. But I believe he is, because he professes to be. But what I do know is the president of the United States stood up in the Museum of the Bible yesterday and said, "When our faith gets weaker, our country seems to get weaker, and when faith gets stronger, good things happen for our country." And he said, "We are defending our rights and restoring our identity as a nation under God." He said, "We are one nation under God, and we always will be." Now, he went on to do several things that I thought was significant. He not only announced this as the beginning of what he's calling the America Praise Initiative, which is huge. The America Praise Initiative, as we pray into the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. But he also then made several announcements. For instance, he announced that there will be a right to pray in public schools by executive order he is issuing to the Department of Education for them to put out the guidelines by which people can expect to be allowed to pray in schools. I really believe that a part of the downfall of public education was when we took God out of schools. It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, you have to hear the gospel every day as part of your lessons, but what it also doesn't mean is that you should not be you should not be denied the right to pray in your school. It's a key part of your life. It's a place that your tax dollars have paid for. And the idea that you should be disavowed from the or disabused of the right to pray in school is just absolutely antithetical to common sense and our founding documents. Trump has said, "I am pleased to announce this morning the Department of Education will soon issue new guidance protecting the right to prayer in our public schools." He also went on to talk about the fact that America has always been a nation that believes in the power of prayer, and we will never apologize for our faith. Ever, ever, never, never. And then he said, "We will never surrender our God-given rights. We will defend our liberties, our values, our sovereignty, and we will defend our freedom." Liberals' heads are exploding right now. Absolutely exploding. Then he brought a kid up on the stage with him. 12-year-old boy. A 12-year-old boy from out in California, who, from the podium, Can you imagine being 12 years old and the President of the United States calls you up to the podium?
No, I could not.
12 years old.
I don't think I could do that now.
I was still reading comic books and, you know, and flipping bottle caps. But Trump had a 12-year-old boy from California join him on stage who shared how he had been forced to read a book that contradicted his beliefs to his kindergarten buddy. The young man told the crowd, "Jesus means everything to me, and I believe kids like me ought to be able to live our faith at school without being forced to go against what we believe." So a memo has now been issued by the Office of Personnel Management protecting religious expression in the workplace to include schools. And I'm telling you, this is a whole new day, you guys. This is absolutely. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you some things that are happening out there, though, just to give you examples of why this is so crucial. What are we up against? Well, you already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. Bulletproof influence, my friends. Bulletproof influence. I got several things on my plate. I know you had some comments on social media there. What do you got over there?
Oh, we just got a good comment here on YouTube from Dennis. Just says, when the prayers go up, the blessings come down.
Nice. Like it. I like it lots. That's a good bumper sticker.
That is.
I got a Texas A&M Chancellor story here, Washington Times. This is part of the reason why I think we've got to see a return to values and faith. You got stuff like this. The Texas A&M Chancellor is now having to deal with the fact that and by the way, the only reason why it came out was because Daily Wire got hold of the story. Daily Wire. So I have this piece from Washington Times yesterday, but it stemmed from a Daily Wire expose. Daily Wire found out that a student at Texas A&M was sitting in class when he realized his professor was about to start using course materials on transgenderism, including something called the Gender Unicorn. I mean, what the Gender Unicorn? What a stupid name anyway. The Gender Unicorn. That's just, I mean, that already sets me on edge.
Are you a unicornophobe?
I don't know that I'm a unicornophobe, but I think that I am just opposed. How about that?
That's fair.
But this particular student was shocked to find out that he was being told that the class instruction materials included statements like, childhood is a time to figure out how to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman or another gender. And that children and adolescents are expected to be sexless, even as our culture valorizes and idealizes, even eroticizes youth. And the student said, "I don't want to be here. This violates my faith." And the teacher actually threw him out of the class. Well, he complained. Daily Wire found out. The teacher has now been fired, I believe. Texas A&M is trying to crawfish on it. But their statements have really not addressed the fact that what we had here was a guy who literally was thrown out of his classroom because he expressed his faith being, you know, opposed to what was being taught. And this is not the same as, I mean, if you go to a, I don't know, let's say you go to a, you're taking a class on pharmaceuticals and you're opposed to marijuana, but they teach a class on medical marijuana. It might be a little different. All right. This is actually teaching something, claiming it's true when it's in violation of your actual faith-based precepts. And then you got other stories that are out there. I'm looking at one right now. Where did it go? Hang on a second. The story off of Town Hall that came out just in the last couple of days about how the left constantly belittles prayer. And, you know, it points out that what we saw in the aftermath of the shooter in Minneapolis, which has already fallen off the news channels, by the way. Where did that story go? Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
I remember that.
The transgender shooter went to a church. Kids were praying. Shot up the church.
It is crazy. Now that you mention it, it is crazy how quiet that's gone.
Yeah. But what became the object of the left's wrath was the idea that we should call on people to pray for the victims and the families and the community. Never mind the fact that the church itself was calling for prayer. Never mind that the people of the community were saying, "We would appreciate your prayers." The left was getting all over Christian people who care around the nation who were daring to say, "We're praying." Never mind the fact that the transgender shooter had statements like, "Where's your God now?" written on the side of his weapon. But the fact is, we're a nation where prayer means something. It really does. And I just love the fact that Trump did that. Now, Trump also established something back in May, and I'd forgotten about this. And granted, I understand that not every religion is Christianity. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. I believe he's my Savior. I do with all my heart. I understand that not everybody believes the way I do. But what I also understand is, in recent years, Christians have been the ones who have been persecuted in the United States, and don't tell me they haven't. Don't try and pretend otherwise. Christians have been told that for some reason, the very idea that we are willing to share our faith in the public square makes us somehow Christian nationalists, and that we're the problem. And if you remember, the Biden administration at one point was even talking about how Christian nationalism, extremism, was part of the root of our society's ills. But in May of this year, President Trump, with only a couple of months in office, issued an executive order, and I've got a copy of it right here, whitehouse.gov, May 1st of this year. By the authority vested in me as President of the President by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered that it shall be the policy of the executive branch to vigorously enforce the historic and robust protections for religious liberty enshrined in our federal law. And he went on to talk about the fact that he was establishing a religious liberty commission. People who will provide advice to the president, that basically a 14-member commission, including individuals, it says, chosen to serve as educated representatives of various sectors of society, the private, the educational, the religious, the states, the diverse perspectives, but shall provide advice to the president on issues that are impacting the ability to freely enjoy your faith. Listen, I think it's awesome. I'm personally stoked. I believe that an appeal to heaven is the way to go, and I am glad to see that our president is willing to say so from the pulpit of the presidency. That's just huge.
Yeah, what a difference one administration makes to the other. We had the Biden administration having transgenders come into the White House lawn and shirtless to where now we have a president who is actively saying that we need prayer. Our nation, when we get weaker in our faith, is normally when times start to get bad.
Yeah.
Whether you believe or not sincerely that like Trump is being serious, I mean, the air cover he's providing to Christians to be able to express their faith.
What a great way to put it, the air cover. I love that. All right, that's break time. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.